I always say it because it's always true.
It's great to sing God's praises together. Praise the Lord for that opportunity. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I almost was going to say chapter 1, but that would have freaked some of you out. No, Romans chapter 12. We're in verses 1 and 2. Now, in Romans chapters 12 through 16, Paul addresses how believing in Christ and understanding the gospel transforms us and how we live. And most fundamentally, believing in Christ and the gospel, most fundamentally, it changes our relationship to God. You know, that is the preeminent relationship, whether you realize it or not, and oftentimes we lose track of that, but the preeminent relationship in your life and the preeminent relationship in my life is not the relationship that I have with you or with my wife, as important as that is, or you with your children. The preeminent relationship in the life of a human being is the relationship we have with God, our Creator and our Redeemer. We don't always feel that way, we don't always think that way, but that is true. That is the preeminent relationship, and when your life is all done and over, you will come to know that, and I will come to know and realize that. And most fundamentally, the gospel transforms our preeminent relationship, our preeminent relationship with God, and it transforms it like this. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It makes men and women do things that are completely strange to the world. It makes us sacrifice ourselves to the merciful God that has redeemed us. We realize the magnitude of mercies received, and that's what this Lord's table is about. We lose track of that. We lose track of the life poured out, the blood spilt, so that you don't have to spill your blood, so that you don't have to put your life on the altar before the wrath of God because of your sinfulness. Yet there's been the mercy of God poured out on us in Jesus Christ. And by the mercies of God, Paul pleads with us to understand and recognize that. And based on a understanding of the magnitude of the mercies received, we begin to think this matter through and we say, you know, the only reasonable thing for me to do is to offer myself as a sacrifice to this God that loves me like this. There's no other reasonable thing to do, which is your reasonable service. And praise God when I can think that way and feel that way. That's about our relationship, my relationship with a God who redeems us at such great cost. So as we recognize those mercies and we offer ourselves as a sacrifice, living, holy, and acceptable to God, what does it look like? Well, verse 2 gives us some insight in what that looks like. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Do not be conformed to this age. I like that translation better. We talked about that. And do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Every phrase there is significant, and we're taking some time to think about those. Conformity to this age is manifested in many ways. But perhaps the most significant way to conform to this age is to live as if there is no age to come. You know, if you were to ask me, Dan, what is the most significant way to conform to this age? That's how I would answer. It's to live as if this age is all there is and there is no age to come. Doesn't matter what else you're doing. You know, you can be feeding the living off the lust of your flesh, or you can be working as a doctor, or you can be a mother and mothering your children. But if you're living as if this age is all there is, you can be sure you're conforming to this age. And we're not to live that way. And regarding this matter of this age and the age to come, I mentioned three steps of nonconformity that we need to pursue. You need to be a nonconformist, not in the sense of the 18th century or the 17th century, but we need to be nonconformist in the 20th century regarding the world that surrounds us. We must stop living as if there is no age to come. And second, we must stop living as this age is more significant than the age to come. And thirdly, we must stop living as if the fruit of what we sow is primarily reaped in the present age. It's not. Our lives in this age are a big season of sowing. And guess what? The big season of reaping is not in this age. Your life is a life of sowing. And the most significant reaping is in the age to come. Now, let that sink in. That is a very heavy thought. And we looked at some passages last week that are like that. That's the third step. That's the most difficult, isn't it? But boy, if you believe that, it will change how you live. That's renewing of the mind to think these things through. Now, I want to talk even a little more about this matter, about not being conformed to this age in this particular area. And then we'll move on this morning to the renewal of our mind even more specifically. But, you know, the Lord Jesus, He really had the right mind, didn't He? And He lived in this age, but He wasn't conformed to it. And let's look at one more passage about this from the Lord Jesus, Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. You want to be blessed? Well, here's the way to the greatest blessing. Here it is. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's the greatest blessing that you and I could possibly receive would be to actually be persecuted for the sake of righteousness. That's the greatest blessing. Jesus goes on, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Get ready. Get used to it. If you're going to follow Christ in our culture, that's what's going to happen. Somewhere, sometime, someplace, you are going to have to suffer for righteousness' sake. If you're a Christian, it is inevitable. It's just inevitable. People are going to persecute you for Christ's sake. But Jesus says you are truly blessed. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my name's sake. You know, you're the obstructionist to social progress. You are now the bigots. You are now the haters. Get used to it. You are now, my brothers and sisters, falsely accused of those that don't know how to love. We are. So they will say false things against us, and they will persecute us in various ways. And we know very little of this. Jesus goes on, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. See, there's the nonconformity. You understand that you can rejoice. And you know, the apostles actually did that. You see it in the book of Acts. They called them aside. They threatened their lives. They beat them. And they left that place rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer for Christ's name's sake. They actually just did that. Why? For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And you have very good company. See, that's nonconformity of the most important kind. And Jesus talks about this all over the place. Now, Paul's nonconformist thinking shines in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn there, 16 through 18. I want you to hear it, and I want you to read it. I want this to go into your mind through as many senses as possible. So I'm going to wait till you turn to this passage so you can read it and so you can listen to it and so it can penetrate our minds. Here's Paul's nonconformity just shining here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. This is, by the way, a lesson in how our minds are renewed. We haven't got to the renewal of our mind phrase yet, but we're actually doing it. We're doing it right now. We're trying to have our lives transformed by renewing our mind. And that's by having the Word of God penetrate deeply into your mind. Now, listen to this. Look at it. We don't all have the same translation, but that's a distraction. But listen to this. Therefore, do not lose heart. Well, if you're living only for this age, guess what? You're going to lose heart. But Paul's going to tell believers why they ought not to lose heart. And unbelievers, the gospel is there for you to enter in. Therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Now, all of you under 40, you probably don't relate to this yet. All of you under 50 probably don't relate to it. You might. That's not true. Some have suffered their entire lives. But all of you over 50 can relate. Even though our outward man is perishing. That's this age, isn't it? Even though, don't lose heart, even though your outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Oh, that would be true. I hope that is true of me and of you. Even though your bodies, and some of you are here in wheelchairs this morning, your outward bodies are perishing and you're losing your hearing and other things are happening. Your inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, Paul says, which is but for a moment. There it is, you see. Light affliction in this age, but for a moment. Temporary light affliction is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The age to come. Now this is renewed thinking, isn't it? While we do not look at the things which are seen, this present age, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, this age, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Wonderful, wonderful passage. It's true. Jesus came from that eternal world. No man has ascended into heaven, but he who has come down from heaven. To bear witness of that age to come. And he's borne witness to that in the gospel. And he's so worked out things that you and I may participate in the glorious part of that age to come. Praise God. That's Paul's nonconformist thinking shining out. And may your mind and mine be renewed by this. The most basic way to not conform to this age is to become age to come centric. This is how Jesus lived. In our culture, conform to this age thinking is predominantly here and now thinking. A focus on what we can see, what we can feel, what we can experience. Just focused on that. That's conformity to this age. Being conformed to this age thinking, listen now, is dominated by unbelief regarding the unseen and the age to come. Make no doubt about it. The problem is unbelief. When you are suffering from a conformity to this age and the age to come is inconsequential, the root problem is unbelief is creeping into the way you're living. You are not walking and living by faith. You are walking and living in unbelief. And we must do that. You know, the Lord says, practice this supper, what? How long? Until what? Until He comes. Until He comes. And so even the celebration of the Lord's Supper is this reminder that there is an age coming that is inaugurated when He comes. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget me and my saving work for you during this age. Don't forget me. Keep doing this until I come. That's the focus. John Murray said it this way, conformity to this age is to be wrapped up in the things that are temporal. To have all our thought oriented to that which is seen and temporal. If our calculations, plans, ambitions are determined by what falls within life here, then we are children of this age. Now, churches can almost without knowing become ensnared in conforming to this age. The snare is trying to be relevant. Now we need to think this thing through individually and as churches. The snare can be trying to be relevant. When we live in a world where the present age is all important to people, and the age to come is virtually non-existent to them, and we try hard to be relevant to them, if we're not careful, what's going to happen? We're going to conform to the age. Because almost all the unbelievers in our culture, to them, what is relevant has everything to do with this age. And if your big goal in preaching a sermon is to be relevant and authentic, oh, the buzzwords. You know, those are the buzzwords nowadays. You got to be relevant. You have to be relevant and authentic and authentic. We like that. Relevant and authentic. Those are the buzzwords. And there's truth to that. But one wise guy said, you know, cultures always change. What people want always change. And the man said the only way to be really relevant is to talk about those things that never change. That's eternity. He goes, you know, if you really want to be truly relevant all the time, talk about eternity and everything relating to eternity. Then you'll always be relevant. Isn't that great? That is true. So we have to be very careful to, you know, the gospel is about the kingdom of God. Repent. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why you ought to repent. Not just because you have a miserable life right now. Life is miserable sometimes. Come on. It is. This world is full. This age is full of suffering. But the age to come depending on where you spend it, is or is not. So, yes, let's be relevant. But boy, in your pursuit of being relevant, if you're not careful, you're just going to go right into conformity to this age. And that's what has happened to many, many churches. Because everything that's important to the people is just a here and now. So what are we going to preach about? Just how to fix all the here and now. All the here and now will never be fixed. Not in this age. That's why there's an age to come. We're not utopians. Utopians have brought more suffering in the world than probably any other ideology. I mean, if you know your history. And it's all arrogance, isn't it? It's we will save the world. We don't need Jesus Christ. All we need is the right form of government. You know what's wrong with every form of government? People are in it. That's a problem. And they can't change the human heart. Only Christ can do that. And He does. And He will perfect that in the age to come. So, all right, we've been long enough on that one. We need to move on. Let's not become a part of the problem in trying to be relevant. The pressure a few decades ago was sacrifice truth for unity, but now the greater pressure is sacrifice truth for relevance. And you think about it, what's happening in our churches. We sacrifice truth for relevance. Here and now relevance. And that's the problem. So think through all of that. Now, as believers, we do live one day at a time. We do live one day at a time. But we live that day in the light of a future eternity. Our future days here are now uncertain. The days here are uncertain. How many will there be? What will they be like? How much control will I have over the days that remain here? We don't know. We don't know. They're all full of uncertainty. And if you think you can control them all, just live another 10 years and you'll find out you can't. Our days here are uncertain. That's hard. We don't like that. We want to be in control. And we want to know. You know, I want to know my kids are not going to do drugs. I want to know that with certainty. Guess what? You're not going to know that. Not with philosophic certainty. No, you're not going to be able to know that. There's a lot of things we want to know with certainty that we're not able to. We're not God. We don't have that philosophical certainty about all those details in our lives. But the amazing thing is, we have been given certainty about the most important things. Is that true? That is true. How can my sins be forgiven? You can know with certainty the answer to that. That's right. Will God be merciful to me? You can know with certainty the answer to that question. What will happen to me in eternity? You can know with certainty the answer to that question. Isn't that an amazing thing? The most important things you can know with certainty because God has told them to you. God is a God who talks and He speaks. And He, in most loving of ways, has told humanity with certainty about the most important things. My problem is God's list of what's most important and my list of what's most important are not the same. Just recognize that. See, we're talking about renewing our minds, aren't we? We have to think these things through. Praise God that you can know with certainty the answers to the most important questions. Light has shone into your darkness and into my darkness to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ and how we will be caught up in that glory with Christ. And we are heirs with Christ. We know that. I know I'm going to rise out of that grave because Jesus Christ rose out of that grave. Right? Yes. We know death has lost its sting. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. That's how we know. Amen. Amen. So, don't be conformed to this age. So, Paul says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we've already been seeking to renew our minds by exposing our minds to God's truth, haven't we? Well, let's consider this process of renewing our minds now a little bit further. And when it comes to being transformed by renewing of our minds, two things are essential: the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And these two work together. Let's begin the renewal of our minds with the Word of God, or by the Word of God. The only way for your mind and mine to be renewed is for the thoughts that are in God's mind to invade your mind. This is the invasion that you need. This is the invasion that humanity needs. That the thoughts that are in God's mind would invade your mind. And the only way for that to happen is for God's words, which express His mind, to be put into your mind. Do you understand that? Many in our generations don't. How in the world is God's mind ever going to invade your mind? Not by you getting some vision. You don't need a vision. You need to know what God thinks. And when somebody wants to really express what they think, what do they do? What do? They write it down. We have this wonderful thing called language, created by God, imprinted in us, made in His image. We have this wonderful thing called language. And when it really gets sticky and you want to make sure they get it right, you know, we better write the contract out. How do you like to do real estate? Hey, I got a vision. I got a feeling. Why don't we just close this deal? I feel good about this deal. Let's just close it. You feel good about it? Yeah, you feel good about it. I feel good about it. It's a deal. We're done. That isn't going to work, is it? No. It's not going to work. So, for God's thoughts to invade your mind, God has done this wonderful thing. He's just written it down there for you. And for me, it's called the Word of God. And that's how our minds are reviewed, when God's thoughts expressed in the Word of God invade our minds. Praise God. Psalm 36, verse 9 says, in your light we see light. Ah, light represents truth. What a profound statement. In your light we see light. You don't have light on the inside on your own. You understand that? Light comes from outside and it shines in. We're not created as autonomous in this area of knowing. We're created in the image of God, yes, but we're not autonomous, self-dependent knowers. We're receivers of the light. God is the light in Christ. It shines in. That's what the gospel is all about. Light come into your world and into my world. In your light, we see light. Psalm 119, 105 states, your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word is the lamp to my feet. Not that I've just been able to conjure up some feelings about should I do this or not and all of that. trying to get some light for my life. There's a lot easier way. Just read it. That's pretty easy. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 19, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You'll never see your life or the world aright without the Word of God. The Word of God enlightens the eyes. Psalm 43, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of your words gives light. Oh, I love that. The entrance of your words give light. It's not good enough just to have them on the walls. They have to enter your mind. The Word of God has to engage your mind. We're talking about renewal of our minds. And it's the entrance of God's words that give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? What? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, man shall live by. So, our minds need to be renewed in many areas. Whether the renewal you are pursuing has to do with this age and the age to come or some other area, you must think matters through based upon an objective and trustworthy word from God. And I mean His written word. His mind to your mind by His written word. That's the only way to renew your mind. In whatever area it is, you have to think it through. Well, renewal of the mind requires something else, and that is it requires the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. Because I have a crooked mind. I got a rebellious mind. I got a mind with a lot of problems. And all of you do. And we need the Holy Spirit. Because our minds are not neutral. The Scripture says the natural mind is what? Hostile against God. Stubborn. Resistant. Hardened and all, you know, the Scripture, the Bible doesn't measure IQ the way that we do. Have you ever thought about that? What's your biblical IQ? What's your biblical intelligence level? It would be pretty low sometimes, wouldn't it? We need the Holy Spirit to renew our minds. And the Spirit of God works with the Word of God. There is an understanding of the Word of God which carries with it an acceptance of it and a submission to it. And that comes only by the Spirit of God. Listen to these two prayers in Psalm 119. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law or your word. Notice that. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Give me this understanding. And when I'm giving this understanding, what will I do? I will keep your word. I will keep your law. Something supernatural has to happen. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and does something supernatural in a human mind and life that suddenly we begin to desire and try to keep the Word of God. And the psalmist understands that and he prays for that. Give me understanding and I shall keep your law and I shall observe it with all my heart. And then the other statement in verse 125, I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. And he's talking about the Word of God. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies, that I may know them, I may understand them. He's asking for a supernatural assistance from God. The psalmist is not praying for new revelations, is he? No. He is praying for an understanding of the revelation already given in the Word. Do you see that? He's not saying, give me some more new stuff. He's saying, give me understanding of your law. I have it. It's written. It's in front of my face. He's not asking for new revelations. He's asking for, we have a technical term for it. He's asking for illumination. I have your law. I have your testimonies. Lord, give me understanding of these. That's what he's praying for. And that's how you ought to pray. If your mind is to be renewed, if my mind is to be renewed. You know, Paul said it to the Thessalonians regarding the uniquely apostolic word, which is true of all Scripture. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. There. Not in word only. It's word and spirit. Word alone is not enough. So you need to get on your face and start praying. Understand? And so do I. Those two things go together, word and spirit. And Paul said that a gospel did not come in word only, but in demonstration and in power of the Holy Spirit and in full conviction or in full assurance. Yes, there is an age to come. And the gospel comes and tells us of that age, and the Spirit blesses that gospel. And suddenly, we think like Paul thinks. That which is seen is temporal. That which is not seen is eternal. The Word and Spirit, that's how our minds are renewed. Now, since we are discussing transformation and renewal of our minds, it needs to be said, and it needs to be said graciously, unless you think I'm a Dr. Spock or Data. And I really don't know very many TV programs. Those are about, maybe about 2 out of 3. But it needs to be said that you are not going to feel your way to transformation and renewal of your mind. And I'm not saying this because of conversations I've had with one or two of you in the last week or two. Our conversations have nothing to do, so I'm not singling anybody out by saying this. I had this in my thoughts long before we ever had those conversations. When it comes to renewing our minds, you're not going to feel your way through the matter. If that is your approach, you are not going to become a nonconformist regarding this age and the age to come by feeling the matter through. If that is your approach, how long do you think your nonconformity is going to last? Well, you guessed it. As long as your feelings lasted. Oh, I heard this wonderful song about eternity and heaven, and that's good. Nothing wrong with that. And I felt, you know, I felt, oh, how wonderful that feels. And I got this wonderful feeling. Great. Nothing wrong with that. But the alarm went off the next morning, and I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel a thing. So you see, if you're renewal about eternity has predominantly to do with feeling, or whatever the area of renewal is, it's not going to last. Because your feelings, they're going to be all over the place. I mean, get used to it. Come on. And don't take drugs to get rid of them all. Our feelings are going to be all over the place. And they're rough and they're difficult, and God help us. And God does help us. He does. I mean, these guys in the Psalms, they were a bunch of them. And these are men. And that's not a slap, I see, ladies. Our feelings are all over the place. And God needs to help us sanctify those. But we're talking here about transformation by the renewal of our minds. See? You have to think these things through. So we need to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. There needs to be conviction and the assurance given by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And there may or may not be feelings. Often there are feelings. And often the feelings get regulated correctly when the Word of God renews and transforms our mind. So, I'm not minimizing the importance of feelings, but the important role they must have in our lives. But when it comes to not being conformed to this age and being transformed by the renewal of your mind, feelings have to take the back seat. And that's one of the hardest things to do. I don't feel like getting out of bed. I'm too depressed to get out of bed. I want to be angry. I mean, you can put all kinds of feelings in there. And we all have them. And by God's grace, our minds need to be renewed and our emotions can be sanctified. But it talks about renewal of our minds by the Word of God. So, what part then do you play in all of this? Well, relating to the Word of God, what part do you play? Don't expect the Holy Spirit who breathed out the Word of God. All Scripture is given by the breathing out of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration, the breathing out of the Word of God, 1 Peter and 2 Timothy. Don't expect the Holy Spirit who breathed out the Word of God to do any renewing of your mind while you ignore the very instrument He has given you. Understand? Don't expect the Holy Spirit who breathed out the inerrant, the perfect, the wonderful Word of God. Don't expect Him to renew your mind when you ignore the very instrument He has given you. So, your mind must constantly engage with the Word of God. And you have a big responsibility to see that it happens in your life. Husbands and fathers, you have a big responsibility to see that that happens in your families. And leaders of churches have a big responsibility to see that that happens in our churches. So that's number one. Referring to the Holy Spirit, pray for an understanding that leads to conviction, that leads to trust. Pray for an understanding of the Word of God, listen to me, that leads to conviction, that leads to trust. Because you have to live off of the promises that are in this Word. Those promises are right there. They're from the heart and the mouth of God. Those promises are from God to His people. And you have to believe those promises and trust them and live off of them and act upon them. And you need the help of the Holy Spirit to arrive at that type of conviction. So you pray for an understanding of God's law. And that isn't just His commands, that's His promises and His commands. That will lead you to a conviction and a trust, a belief of what God has said to you. You ask the Spirit of God to come and do just what the psalmist prayed. Give me understanding. That's your part and my part. Engage the Word of God and do it prayerfully. Praise God. That's how our minds can be renewed. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And then the most amazing thing will happen, and we'll deal with it next week, that you may know and prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What an amazing thing happens as a result of this process. Let's pray. Lord, how good and gracious you are, for you have not left us in darkness. Oh God, oh Lord, you speak to us of the age to come. You are eternal. Time means nothing to you. Lord, time is something we realize now. You just created it, like everything else in our world, like everything else in this age. Even the time that we experience is simply created by you. But thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus Christ from the other realm, from the age to come. Thank you for his grace and love. Thank you that he is the light. Thank you that you talk to us, Lord. We pray for the blessing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we need your help. I need your help in my mind, in my heart. Lord, thank you for your promises. We do pray that you would cause us to be diligent and that you would renew our minds by your mind. Thank you, Lord, for speaking your mind to us. We just see how beautiful that mind is because we see your glory in the face of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for revealing yourself this way, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.